the show. This is a very special episode of Good Night and Good Game. It is Thursday over here in Texas, and we just got done watching Summer Game Fest, and boy, do we have things to say about it. So, yeah, this is a special show. Obviously, we don't have our normal intros or normal segues. We are just here, two people with drinks, having just watched the beginning of Summer Game Fest. I just want to point out, we are going to be exclusively talking about Summer Game Fest in this. We are not going to be talking about, Devolver Digital or any of the other
presentations. Right. Yeah, you know, the Game Fest goes on for the rest of the weekend. Yep. It is currently Thursday, and we just saw the main stage show that Jeff Keighley puts on, Summer Games Fest. Right. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, so we are going to be focused on that. So we're going to jump into it. We have a lot of things to talk about. So, yeah, welcome to the show, everybody. We are doing this without a script. This is just off the cuff. I have the list of games in front of us. All right, you ready?
Ready.
Let's do it. The first thing shown at Game Fest to open the presentation, the not E3 presentation, was Prince of Persia?
Prince of Persia.
Not even just like any Prince of Persia, a 2D Prince of Persia.
Yeah, no, I think at the time, my first reaction to this was, this is a really great way to bring back Prince of Persia, because I love the original franchise. The first one, the second one, even the third one, like, they were outstanding examples of level design at a time where that wasn't really an art form yet, in the way that, you know, the From Software made it.
Right.
We're talking about a game that, especially when it comes to level design and combat design, that was way ahead of its time.
If you want to talk about the history of Prince of Persia, I'm happy to get into that, because Prince of Persia is most notable in the annals of video game history, but the fact that it was one of the first games to ever use mocap.
Mm-hmm. Rotoscoping.
Used rotoscoping, and it actually did film an actor.
Yep.
And like, it was, there's no words to describe it. Like, it was ahead of its time.
It was, you know, a pixelated character on a screen animated in such a way that he looks like a human moving. And that was so, so, so new at the time.
But the big thing about this game is that we have had Prince of Persia games. It's been about 13 years, if the numbers serve correctly on this one. It's been about 13 years since we've had one. But those last ones, things like The Sands of Time, were 3D, platformers.
Yes. And those were the ones with the incredible level design and the amazing overarching story. I must have played the first one like 3 times. Mm-hmm. Second one I played a bunch. Third one I played a bunch. Like, they were good stories, and I really enjoyed them.
This one is, we are going old school. We are 2D again.
We're going 2D because there's probably not a lot of demand for a AAA $150 million budget, Prince of Persia game. But it doesn't mean the franchise needs to go away. It just means that we need to rethink how we present it to people. And this seems truly perfect. It really does.
I love that for it. It looked fantastic.
Yeah.
I was like, it's been a long time. Honestly, the last time I played a Prince of Persia game, they were 2D. Never been a big franchise for me.
Mm-hmm.
This spoke to me. I was like, I could grab this on my Switch.
Mm-hmm.
I could play it on the couch. I'm going to have a good time.
Yep.
All right. Next up. Mortal Kombat 1.
Mortal Kombat 1.
Yeah.
The redoing of Mortal Kombat, the resetting of Mortal Kombat,
right,
back to one. It's not like it's being remade. It's not like it's being reimagined. All of your favorite characters are still here. They're still murdering the shit out of each other for your entertainment with some of the most brutal, might I even say cruel, fucking fatalities I've ever seen. And I'm saying this in a good way. Like, if you're here for the gore is rather porny. And if you're here for the gore, you want it to be porny. So there's all of that. It looked amazing. We got our first glimpse at some gameplay, a lot of executions, a really cool cameo mechanic is what they're calling
it's
it.
A tag mechanic.
Yeah,
but you can't play as the tag character.
Right. They just come in and they do a move to help you out, and then they leave, and then you continue playing with your character.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because they have access to like their old move sets and their characters from the original Mortal Kombat.
It seems like these are characters that could at some point be DLC, and all they would need to do is just toggle the character on.
Like literally flip the switch, and now the whole moveset's there, and now they're in the roster that you select from at the beginning. But looked great. If you're a Mortal Kombat fan, I'm pretty excited for you.
Yeah, I'm super excited about it myself. But moving on from Mortal Kombat, Path of Exile. Now, this is a game that you're more familiar with than I yes. am. So dive into this a little bit.
Yeah, so Path of Exile is a free-to-play ARPG in the style of Diablo or every other ARPG that exists. But the one between Diablos has all, you know, outside of like Wolcen and Lost Ark. It wasn't Lost Ark. Last Epoch. Is what it was called. All of the other, like, AA small studio ARPGs, Path of Exile has been the one for a long time because it made its mechanics work in such a way that the game could be free to play, but the team, the small team that works on this game, can, like, feed their families and make a living off of the microtransactions that give you, like, cosmetics.
Are you talking about developers being taken care of as human beings?
Yeah.
How dare you, sir?
They take care of themselves.
How dare you suggest there are companies out there that take care of their employees?
They went with the Devolver models, the Devolver talk at GDC model and said, we don't need a fucking publisher. Right. We will make an ARPG ourselves, make it exactly the way we want it.
With hookers and blow.
With hookers and blow, and then we'll give it to people for free. And they will like it so much, they will pay for cool coats and
they will
footsteps.
Pay for the privilege
of dressing their dolly.
Dressing their dolls.
Yeah, while they play this free game. And people do, and people fucking love this game. People go in for the seasons, just like Diablo.
Love that.
People go in for, like, creating new characters. People, like, for a while there were, like, hidden classes that you had to beat the game with other classes to get to. People got really into that. People who aren't into video games stream this game on Twitch.
Wow.
Like it's really, really cool. And what we saw was the long announced, like maybe a couple years ago, the team, Grinding Gear Games, announced that they were working on a part two. They announced it to their audience first, and they said, it's a free-to-play game. We're making another free-to-play game. That doesn't mean the content of this game will suffer. The seasons are in place. It will continue to roll through. We will continue tweaking things.
Sure, yeah.
But there will not be, like, a new class or new levels or new, like, the game is complete and you can play it all you want, but we're working on part two. And today, for the first time, we saw some gameplay in part two, and fuck, does it look cool. That was we just got the release of Diablo 4 and I'm really into it right now. This game looked fucking cool. And yeah, I'm in. I mean, I'll be playing it. Absolutely. I will be.
All right. Let's see what we got up next on the list. So we did Path of Exile, Exoprimal
with Street Fighter 6 DLC.
This is a game that hasn't come out yet. It's a game by Capcom. It is about you as a robot shooting dinosaurs in the face.
Right.
And the trailer they showed for it today was like, hey, remember that dinosaur shooty game? We're putting Street Fighter characters in it as DLC.
Yeah.
Go punch a dinosaur in the face.
Like specifically the Street Fighter 6 models, but they made them robots because you're always a robot when you fight the dinosaurs. Yeah. It's fucking dope. I mean, yeah, the game hasn't come out yet. I do plan on playing it, but it hasn't come out yet. But I think adding Street Fighter characters to it is fine. Capcom can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Right now, Capcom can do whatever the fuck they want.
They are in good graces. We have heard nothing but good things.
Absolutely.
All right, next up. Oh, man, this was a weird one. They showed off the Nicolas Cage DLC for Dead by Daylight.
Yeah. So I have a really good friend who's plays a lot of Dead by Daylight. And his question several weeks ago was, I heard they're getting Nicolas Cage. And I was like, oh, okay. Is he going to be a monster or a survivor? And he's like, I don't fucking know. And today we found out. And
he's a survivor.
Nicolas Cage walked right up on stage, talked to Jeff Keighley, got a ton of applause. And he was just like, yeah, I'm happy to be in the video game space. I've never been invited in here before. Thank you for bringing me into your cool club. And it was a very Nicolas Cage interview.
Yeah.
And it was great. And I want more. Yeah. I'm not going to play any more Dead by Daylight. And like, unless my friends get on and are like, hey, come play this game with us. And then I will. But like, I don't play it on my own. But it's cool.
We saw the trailer for Witcher Season 3.
We did. The Witcher Season 3, the Netflix series.
Yep.
Yeah. I loved Season 2. Loved Season 1. As a fucking massive fan of The Witcher, read the books, played all the games. I mean, I will be there day one to toss a coin to my Witcher.
There you go. God damn it. All right. Next up, they showed a game called Witchfire. It's a first-person shooter, very much like Hex and Heretic. I think we talked about this before around Game Awards season, actually. Yes. Yeah, it's a FPS magic-based game.
Yeah, it's, you know, it seems almost like, what would I call that? It's almost like Frontier magic punk. Like, I don't know what's going on here. There's a lot of magic involved in the like very rudimentary guns you shoot at crazy demons.
Many genres are being crossed.
Yeah. This. And it's cool. I'm all for the slew of like first person shooters we get with people trying to like reinvent the wheel a little bit, because right now there's this huge emergence of boomer shooters, which I'm also all about. But people are really trying to figure out how to make first-person shooters like a little more interesting again mechanically, and I'm here for it. It sounds great.
Which is kind of what we went through in the 90s. We had Doom.
It is.
And then everybody went, okay, how do we make it not Doom? And people went, I don't know, magic, bro?
Yeah, maybe some magic.
So there you go. We saw a trailer for Crossfire Sierra Squad VR.
Right.
The most generic of shooters.
So yeah, it's absolute just a military shooter, Crossfire is, and this was the VR version of it. And I mean, neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yep. Not buying VR for it, but I mean, cool.
Yep. Next up, we saw Revenant 2. This was a title you were familiar with going into this trailer.
Revenant 1 is a three-player co-op PvE game. Kind of a looter shooter. Think like if Borderlands or something like that, but with a much smaller scope, less open world, more like narrow focus and missions and repeating missions for better gear. Killing bosses and always playing with your friends. And there are different classes. So yeah, kind of a lot like Borderlands. And this is the second one. The art style looks amazing. It's very, to keep going with a punk aesthetic, because there's a lot of crafting and like building out of weird technology and magic. But this is like, I don't know if you would call it gothic punk or like dark gothic punk, but that gothic seems to punk be the works. Aesthetic. That, yeah.
That's a good aesthetic, yeah.
Yeah, because there's lots of fucking tentacles and Cthulhu monsters.
Honestly,
everywhere.
Gothic punk is like the area that I want to live in personally.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what Revenant 2 looks like. So you should play it with Ross and I when it comes out.
In the tradition this year of everything old is new again, we got to see a new trailer, or a trailer for a new Sonic the Hedgehog game, question mark, but it looks like old school Sonic the Hedgehog.
Right, like the very first bit was literally Sonic from Sonic 1 running across a line that was at the halfway mark of the screen and into better graphics for the exact same level. And that's what they were going for. They were like, hey, look, it's 2D Sonic, it's fast, it's interesting, we absolutely polished up the graphics, and you can play with your friends, and you can play as Tails, or Knuckles, or the...
Amy.
Is it Amy?
I think Amy was like a... I don't know. I thought her name was listed.
Oh yeah, somewhere. Yeah. The pink Sonic like
I think that's
fast
Amy.
Character.
I think that's Amy.
Amy sounds great. Yeah. I don't know any of the characters after those three.
You don't study. You're telling me right now on this show that you don't study your Sonic the Hedgehog lore?
I'm not young enough to have been exposed to Sonic inflation pornography
at
the age of
11. Do you not know how much Sonic loves chili dogs?
No, that was a Saturday morning cartoon from when I was a kid. And yeah, no, I know that. I don't know if Amy was in that.
I have no idea. I don't really know anything about Sonic the Hedgehog lore myself, so I haven't even seen the movie, so.
I could recite the theme song from that show. How dare you come into my house? How dare you?
Okay. The next thing that I had on the list, and literally, I remember everything that we looked at here, but this one was just Star Rail Thing was my note.
Oh, Honky Star Rail. Sorry, I'm so sorry. That's what I call it. Honkai Star Rail is the new game from the makers.
Wait, you call it Honky Star Rail?
I call it Honky Star Rail because I find it funny. Honkai Star Rail is a game from the makers of Genshin Impact, which is very, very big on phones, on tablets, on PC, kind of MMO light, but it's also a fucking gachapon game, which if for those who don't know what that is, it means you... I'm going to age myself real quick. When you used to go to the grocery store or to Pizza Hut or to whatever, there were, you know, those little candy vendors where you crank the knob?
Yeah.
Sometimes, instead of candy in them, they had little tiny little action figures and little plastic cups.
Yeah, the muscle men that I had growing up were from that.
And sometimes there were a bunch of different kinds and you could collect them all. The thing was, when you turn the thing, you don't know which one you're going to get.
Right.
So you might collect them all, But also in that process, you're going to get a lot of fucking repeats.
Exactly.
That's what Gachapon is. Mm-hmm. And that's what this video game is when you roll for things and try and get things, you might just get something you already have. And that's just part of the game. That's where the money comes in. Because if you want the thing you want, it's going to fucking cost you.
Mm-hmm.
That's how people play these games. I personally have a friend who never put a dime into the game, played it all through Endgame, and loved it. This is Genshin Impact, not Honkai Star Rail. Honkai Star Rail, what we saw at the awards was getting some cool DLC. Mm. And I'm all for that. I'm super into, you know, people liking this game. I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with it. I just would never play a gachapon game because right. It feels predatory and not like a video game.
But I know what you would play, and that's Lies of P.
I would play the Lies of P. I would play that right now. That game looks better every time we see it.
I know.
It really does.
And this really felt like the final trailer for it. So if you're unfamiliar with Lies of P.
Because we got a release date.
Lies of P is a, I cannot believe these words go together, a Soulsborne-style game about Pinocchio.
Yep. So, specifically, going for a Bloodborne aesthetic.
Bloodborne, but with Pinocchio.
Yeah. But you are Pinocchio. Bloodborne, but you're Pinocchio.
And you kill the fuck out of things. And ever since we saw the trailer for this, we were like, you know what? We're not getting Bloodborne 2. This'll do, pig.
Yeah. This will absolutely do. Because it looks great. We saw like a gameplay trailer today. The game looked beautiful. It looked fluid. It looked fun. There have been a lot of misses lately in the Soul Inheritor genre where people are trying to recreate Souls games. It doesn't help that, you know, the From Software released their goddamn In Rainbows this year. Mm-hmm. Last year. Jesus Christ, time.
What is time, though?
Yeah, but it's, now that we have Elden Ring, it's going to be harder and harder for pretenders to, like, step out and, like, make a shot at the throne. This one looks really good.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I'm hoping this is the last trailer we get for it. Like,
I just want to play it.
We've been looking at trailers for, like, 2 years now.
Yeah, and it comes out in October.
Right in my face.
Yeah, so, oh, fuck, that's another game that comes out in October.
Everything.
A lot of games come out in October.
So let's talk about a new IP. They showed off a trailer for something called Sandland.
Sandland, yeah.
This was a weird one.
Yeah.
This was the one that we looked at. And this, if I'm remembering correctly, this is the one that looked like, I forget what, was this the one that
looked like? It looked a little bit like Borderlands in the art style because it was that kind of like cel shading.
Yeah, it was Borderlands meets Dragon Quest.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very, very Dragon Quest-esque character design. Yeah. And it's the artist from Dragon Quest is why. But yeah, there's a lot of the art was so cartoony that at one point I thought it might be like one of those strategy RPG titles that they used to make. The ones with the penguins. I'm forgetting what they're called.
Disgaea.
Thank you, Disgaea. Yeah, yeah, one of those. Mm. But it's not. It seems like this interesting amalgamation of like RPG, but also like open world and also lots of desert and mechs and cars. I don't know. It looks cool. I'm interested.
All right. Next up, we do not have to spend any time on this one. It's called Throne in Liberty. It's an MMO. It's a Korean MMO.
Oh, yeah.
It's a mobile game. That's the thing.
Korean MMOs are cool. They're not for me.
Yep.
I do not have the time to ever play an MMO ever again. Maybe when I retire.
I think you went to the restroom for this one. There was a game called Warhaven. It was kind of generic guys in armor. It was very much like Dynasty Warriors.
Yeah, no, I left because I thought it was just a another Chivalry trailer, like Chivalry 2 trailer, like they were getting DLC or something.
Yeah. A lot of people, we were watching this in Discord with some friends, and one of the trailers they showed was for something called Party Animals.
Yeah.
Now, this is a game that apparently had a beta a little while back, was wildly popular. It's kind of like Mario Party, but like just with normal people or with pets. Like you could play as a corgi or a cat or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, and everybody that was in the Discord that had played it was very excited. It's getting a release date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I'm happy for them.
Yeah. Crash Team Rumble.
Yeah, okay. I mean, Crash Bandicoot.
It is Crash Bandicoot, but Smash Brothers?
Yeah, no, I love Volvi. Volvi's my favorite. I remember growing up with Volvi, and it looks like they're bringing him back in a new game. Let's revive him.
This was all... Everything about this trailer was just like, I have no interest in this.
Yeah, I don't know why. Maybe somewhere there in an alternate dimension, there is room in my life for Crash Bandicoot and Spyro the Dragon still, but like I don't care about mascots anymore. Right. Like yeah, the game is good or it's not.
Yep. Okay. Now we can talk about some games we want to spend a few minutes talking about. The first one will be Alan Wake 2.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's talk about this
shit. Sam Lake gets on stage, goes to hang out with Jeff Keighley, talks about Alan Wake 2, which is full survival horror, the first survival horror game Remedy has ever made. And they have made spooky moments in games. They've not made a spooky game yet. So I am very into this, especially because it comes out in October. Especially because they've said you play two different characters and that it is a spooker to be prepared for that. And they showed us a little bit of gameplay. They specifically
said this is their first time making a survival horror game.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, I'm so into that. I've never played a Remedy game that I didn't love at least a little bit. I need
the soundtrack to Alan Wake 2 to be as much of a banger as the first one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I need Poe. I need the old gods of Asgard. Poets of the Fall. I need all of it. Just give it to me, put it in my... I know that the part of the contention between by why it took so long to remake Alan Wake was because they needed to get the music rights. Oh, but like
fucking
the
dead combo.
The music makes... the fucking game.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about Alan Wake 2, aside from the fact that it's a survival horror, and some people are on the fence about this one, there are two main characters.
Mm-hmm.
So we have two different stories that will intersect at various places that are about the Alan Wake universe. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm cool with that. Can't be Alan Wake all the time, you know, because it's hard to put people in danger that you know are going to live.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm fully in. Yeah. And there's not a Remedy at this point in my life could not release a game that I wouldn't just play just to see what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. I'm still sitting here waiting with bated breath for Control 2, but it'll probably be a couple years.
Probably the next one. Yeah.
So, you know,
but I mean, yeah, that's the thing is that I'm surprised it took me so long to come around to Remedy because people are like, you should play Alan Wake. It's Stephen King meets Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
That's your shit.
That's literally like most of your shit, like smushed together.
Right. And then like when it came to Control, you were like, you should play Control. It's House of Leaves, the game. And I was like, oh, that's weird, but that's also very much my shit.
Yep.
Thank you, dog.
I mean, Max Payne was a hard-as-nails film noir detective thing with, like, romance and bullet time and, like, crime. Like, that's good shit, too. Like yeah, Remedy, always a winner. Always
other
a win.
Other games that we are excited for from this entire festival. Let's talk about Warhammer. Space Marine 2.
Fucking Space Marine 2. As a human being, not a Space Marine, who just finished Bolt Gun, which is a sequel to Space Marine 1, which came out about a decade ago.
Yep. In fact, a decade ago, you can't listen to it, but we did an interview with the creators way back then.
Yep. No, I loved Space Marine, but it was very much a double A, like God of War clone. The new one we saw a trailer for today for part two looks absolutely stunning. It is gorgeous. It is co-op. It feels like they tried to mix that like a God of War super reactive gameplay with like, you know, some three player co-op, almost Vermintide type action or Darktide that we've gotten recently. Like, give me any action game in the Warhammer universe and I am there. I'm not super there for tabletop stuff because it takes a long time to learn. So like if someone wants to teach me, I'm down.
Right.
But like I'm not going to drop like $500 to get into it.
Right.
And,
it's a very expensive drug habit.
Yeah, and or there's stuff like Space Hulk, which is cool, but like I'm not super into like the sit around strategy type stuff. So yeah, I love Warhammer lore, specifically 40K, because I find the 40K stuff like truly intriguing.
Oh yeah, it's way more fascinating than fantasy to me.
So give me that in an action title, and I am fucking there. And this is exactly that, and I am fucking there.
Yep. But one of the things we're not mentioning about this game, the big thing about this game is that the original Space Marine game was a single player God of War style game.
Yeah.
This announcement trailer said by BT Dubs, this is a three-person co-op game.
Yeah. So fucking excited for that. I can't wait to play that game with my friends.
Yeah. We saw a trailer for a game called Yes, Your Grace Snowfall.
Yeah.
Very beautiful pixel art game. You play, take on the role of a king.
You make tough decisions.
You make really tough decisions, like on like how your town is run.
Yeah.
But
whether
it's also,
or not to send people to war.
Right. But it's also kind of beat 'em up adjacent. So you actually do go out on the field with your people and, like, you know, do combat and whatnot. Yeah. Looked very fascinating. A lot of fun. But we are, if nothing, fans of horror in this household.
Always.
And when you say the words John freaking Carpenter to us and say, there's a John Carpenter video game coming and it's about zombies.
Oh, yeah.
The game is called Toxic Commando.
Yeah, of all things. Like, cool.
It is about like four people in a zombie apocalypse in a van with weapons and just... Yeah. What's on the tin?
Yeah, and it's, you know, like if you wanted to roam around in first person shooting zombies and all kinds of different crazy looking fucking monsters, crazy looking fucking monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it looked great. Yeah, and if you got, I love that the new thing since Elden Ring is getting like an actual like showrunner, writer, novelist, and yeah, you know, that someone who loves to make projects that people love the stories of to come in and like guide your aesthetic and guide your story and mm-hmm. give you the lore Bible you need to make a rich, deep world that people will get into. Yeah. Keep doing this. Keep doing this. I can't wait for James Cameron's like video game tour. I can't wait for, you know, like where's Stephen King? Like he needs to work at Remedy for like a year.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Oh, this was kind of a big announcement. Baldur's Gate is
Baldur's Gate 3 has a release date.
Has a release date. The 1.0 of Baldur's Gate 3 release date.
Yeah.
Now, if you know anything about this, about Larian Studios, they actually make their games accessible in early access for a very long time. But when it comes to their 1.0, 2.0 releases, those are really the versions you want to play.
Oh, yeah.
I played early access Original Divinity. It was rough, my dude.
Yeah. No, so Larian Studios was very small when they made the first Divinity, and it was a massive fucking game in scope alone. Just like systems within systems within systems, trying to truly emulate in a video game all of the things you could do in D&D.
Yep.
And it's tough. And there was jank. Yep. And there still is jank. And then the Divinity 2, Original Sin, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Also, super incredible game. Deep. You could dive into that thing even with a group of friends and play for hours and hours and hours.
Do yourself a favor. Take the Speak to Animals perk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then they keep making RPGs like this and they keep being very, very good and they keep being very, very D&D to the point where, like, if you're, you know, there's a barrel of water, you knock it over, now there's water. Your mage has a lightning spell. All of these things interact.
Mm-hmm.
Someone, you know, there's a barrel of pitch and, like, you have a fire spell and it's not all magic type shit. Like, it's foggy outside. It's harder to see your assassin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of this stuff is all emulated and taken care of. There are characters in the game that you can recruit to your party that you could very much never meet.
Yep.
This is a kind of design philosophy that I love. From Software is famous for this, where they don't care if you see the shit they worked really hard on. Mm-hmm. They care that you played the game your own way.
Yep.
Larian Studios is famous for this, and they gave them the Baldur's Gate franchise.
Yep.
And they told us like 3 to 4 years ago that they were working on it, and they've released a couple of like server tests and a couple of... I guess beta isn't quite the right word, but it's the first word that comes
close,
to mind.
Yeah.
Just tests for the game to see like what works and what doesn't. And people are really, really D&Ding this shit to the point where in their last game, there was literally a Dungeon Master mode where he was basically a level, world, and story creator where he could be like, hey, I created this whole epic thing, story quest, in this game. Y'all roll your characters, check your character sheets, and I'm going to lead you through this because I control how the world works and who interacts with you while you play. This is brilliant. This is a game system interacting with people who just want to sit around and play D&D. This is the dream of everyone, every fictional character in Stranger Things.
Yep.
Like, this is the thing. And now we have Baldur's Gate, and it has an actual 1.0 release date, and I'm very, very excited. But at the same time, I'm going to be some jank. It's probably going to be a little jank.
But are you as excited for Baldur's Gate as you are for, say, Spider-Man 2?
No one's as excited for anything as they are as excited for Spider-Man 2.
So let's talk about the highlights of Spider-Man 2. Yeah. So we got to see more Spider-Man. The Speedermans have come out
to
play.
The Speedermans are assembling.
The Speedermans are assembling. We got to see some more of the Speedermans. But more specifically, we got a date for the Speedermans. So Speedermans 2, October 20th.
More October games.
More October games. Also, the big announcement that kind of went under the radar. Yes, we have our Speedermans, but the Venom inside of the Speedermans is not Eddie Brock.
It's not Eddie Brock. It's not Jameson's kid.
Right.
And from what I understand, it's also not Osborn.
Right.
So, like, we don't... They said they created their own origin story for Venom because they have their own Peter Parker.
Right.
He has his own life. He has his own Miles Morales. Miles Morales has his own life. It's different. His dad's dead. His dad's not dead in any, like most other places.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I can tell... It's not in the movies. Yep. So, like, yeah. We have all these different characters, so they needed their own Venom origin story, and I'm in love.
Yeah.
Like, I can't wait. I super-duper can't wait. Insomniac are fucking geniuses.
They take care of their people. They were one of the first ones. There was a big tweet that was going around this last week that was just like, everybody needs to come back to work because nobody's being productive, like, working from home. And a bunch of game developers were like, right, so here's our game that won all the awards that we did all from home.
Yeah, Sony Santa Monica literally is like, do y'all remember God of War Ragnarok?
Yeah.
the game that won all the Game of the Year awards last year. The game
that caused a
9-minute award acceptance speech at the Game Awards last year.
The one that we got fucking Hozier to fucking write a song for.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like, yeah. But, like, that's the thing is the studio takes care of their people, and that's why you know it's a quality product when it's from them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, they're like, hey, it's going to be a while for Spider-Man. We're going to give you a release date once it's ready because our people come first.
Yep. And he said on stage, because Jeff said, he looked at him and he said, so you guys said it was sometime this year. How are you feeling about it? Are you confident? Do you think it'll come out? The director looked at him and said, we are very confident about what we're about to show you.
Yep. He
shows the release date. It's October this year. And that's, I always say don't pre-order video games. You shouldn't pre-order video games. I'm going to pre-order this game because, like, I don't want to take the time to buy it the day it comes out.
You want it on your system.
Because I want it to download and be available to play the day it comes out.
Look, I will counterpoint this saying that if you know a company, like, ethically treats its employees very, very well, like Supergiant, and they are not there to screw over the consumer like many, many other studios. If you know this from their years of taking care of their people, you know what? It's okay.
Yeah, yeah. Buy their game. If you know you're going to like it, if you know that, like, you know, you're just in here for the ride.
Yep.
You know, grab the game, man.
Yeah.
Like, for certain people, it's okay.
So we saw a really weird game called Pal World.
Yeah,
Pal
what the fuck
World
was that?
Is like... The only way I can describe this to you, if you have never watched a trailer for it, is it's Pokemon Monster Hunter with guns.
Yeah, there are a lot of guns.
Like, a lot. So, like, you are hunting giant monsters like in Monster Hunter, but you have tiny little cute monsters like in Pokemon, but also guns.
Yeah, but also there are guns. You have guns. Your Pokemon have guns. They're shooting at other Pokemon with guns.
Yeah.
The Pokemon they're shooting at are shooting back.
Yeah, they're like, say fucking Pika again, motherfucker.
Yeah, and, like, and it's also like Pokemon level cartoon graphics for the monsters and the humans. And then all of the world design is practically photoreal, and the lighting model feels like it's ray traced. Like, there's so much personality in the graphic style. It's weird to look at, but I really like it.
Yeah, they showed off an MMO called Black Desert Online.
Black Desert Online has been around forever. It was an expansion for it. If you're into Korean MMOs, I mean, I'm glad you have that much time.
They showed off a game called Lord of the Rings Return to Moria.
Yeah.
It's about the dwarves, and it's kind of like half sim.
Yeah, it looked like that you could mine. You could actually mine. It looked like you could actually build structures. And the idea is you're digging down to get back to Moria to take it back
from
the goblins and shit.
The graphics were not great, and yeah. I will honestly say I watched the trailer for that and said I'd rather be playing Deep Rock Galactic.
Straight up, yeah. I was wondering when it was going on, like, are they just ripping off Deep Rock Galactic? It doesn't look like it, but at the same time, I was like, well, what is this? And all I can say is that Gollum is very fresh in all of our minds as like a maybe don't treat the Lord of the Rings property this way.
Yeah.
So I really hope this isn't absolute shit like Gollum was.
Yeah.
I do hope that.
Final Fantasy VII mobile game called Ever Crisis.
Cool. Phone game.
It's phone game. Right. Banishers, Ghosts of New Eden.
Yeah. That one was... the art style was really cool.
Yeah.
You know what it reminded me of the most? Order 1866, the like PlayStation 4 game that was like photoreal, but like 3 hours long and people were really upset about. Oh, yes,
the Order 1866 or
1886 maybe.
Yeah, the one that was like super like...
It's very steampunk.
It's very steampunk. Starts kind of God of Gears of War-esque.
Yeah, but also there are werewolves.
Like, right, then it becomes like a supernatural game like halfway through.
It reminded me of that, but it looked a lot better than that, by the way. Like, if you thought that game was shit, this looked better than that. Looked cool.
If you want to know why I was just silent there for a moment, the everything with Summer Game Fest is going on right now. Mm-hmm. And as I was reading my notes, one of my friends messaged me, so a little pop-up while I'm reading the notes, and all it said was Persona 3 Reloaded and Persona 5 Tactics. So I have some trailers I need to watch after this.
Yeah, I guess we're about to find some more shit out. Like we said, all we watched so far was Summer Games Fest and the Devolver Show, and we're not talking about the Devolver Show.
Yep. So let's this I love the title of this because this is the most James Bond shit in the world. Yakuza, the man who erased his name.
I fucking love that shit. I love... Okay, so it was specifically Like a Dragon, because Like a Dragon came out either late last year or early this year. Yep. To uproarious applause from the entire Yakuza fan community. This is one of those game series that I really wish I had the down low on, that I really wish I was a super fan of, mm-hmm. because the people who play these games seem to enjoy them the most. And every time I see clips from these games, I'm like, you know what? I fucking love this weird, janky shit.
I kind of want to try the series out.
Yeah, straight up. And they've released a bunch of games this year. One of them was like a samurai game that a lot of people had a lot of fun with. A samurai had a gun. Mm-hmm. Like, that's really cool. I have seen at GDQ characters in these games play football with a baby. So, right. Like, good times.
Yep.
Really fucking good times. There's also turtle racing. There's also karaoke mini games.
Yeah.
There's everything you can think of. It looks great.
We're almost done here. We have a handful of things to still talk about, though. One of them is a new IP called Under the Waves. Now, this one is fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
Under the Waves is a game in which you take on the role of a diver in his like little submarine that he lives in, and he is exploring ruins underwater. It mm-hmm. felt, and I haven't played the game, but it felt almost like a third person kind of Firewatch.
I was feeling a lot of Subnautica vibes as well. It felt like story-driven, puzzle-driven. Like, you go explore, and there are a lot of constraints, obviously, because in a lot of spaces, you're going to need a submarine, a little submersible, like, personal sub. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you only need a diving suit. There are whales everywhere, but there are also, like, ancient ruins and stuff. I am a massive sucker for underwater stuff. Ask all my friends who I dragged to Avatar The Way of Water.
All of us.
Literally all of you. But anything that has to do with the ocean, like, I'm super in. I have a little thalassophobia, but at the same time, like, I just fucking love the ocean. So this was right up my alley, and the aesthetic was beautiful. It felt like they really nailed the feeling of being underwater. So this is a big one for me. I will be buying this unless it is terrible.
This gave me some really interesting, like, everything is super chill vibes. And then I had a couple of thoughts in my head, and I go into writer brain sometimes because I enjoy writing fiction on the side. Is I was listening to the people like talk to this person, and we never saw another human being. And I was like, I wonder if everybody's just dead, and these are like voices in his head. And then I was just like,
very Soma.
This game could get really dark really quick, actually.
Oh, and very scary very quick. You ever want to feel nervous? feel like you're trapped and also underwater.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
You ever watch a YouTube video of underwater cave spelunkers?
Ooh,
it's
boy.
Fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't have shown you the video if someone died, but you're still terrified.
Yeah. Okay, so let's see what we got here. We're almost done. We got a few more to go. Fae Farm. Very chill.
Fae Farm looked very much like they're trying to tap into the Stardew Valley / Animal Crossing market.
Yep.
You know, we're going to build a little farm. We're going to have a little town. We're going to talk to people. We're going to make slimes. Friends. There are some slimes. You can probably ranch them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it looked very cute. It looked very cute. I'm still waiting around for the Haunted Chocolatier. It'll be out when it's ready. Mm. But in the meantime, there's room for more farming games in my life.
Yeah, I'm going to skip through the next couple. We had Marvel Snap.
Lots of phone games.
We had King Arthur. It was a King Arthur game.
Yeah, it was like a phone plus PC, but also mostly phone.
Very generic.
Yeah.
There was a game called Wayfinder, which was kind of like an action fantasy game.
Wayfinder looked cool. I dug the art style a lot, but I didn't have a lot of context from the trailer we got, and there was
very little.
We didn't get a lot of it.
Yeah, they showed off Stellar Nexus, which is a strategy space game. It's kind of an almost 4X style game.
Right. Yeah. So Stellaris is one of those like big 4X space things, and I believe what this was advertising itself as is like that, but a game where you can just do some combat and play it in an hour and put it down. It needed a system where you could just fight and walk away, where you didn't have to like run through the campaign. So I get it.
We saw the trailer for the Twisted Metal TV show.
Still not a fan. It had both Anthony Mackie and the voice of Will Arnett, both of whom I love to death. And I watched that trailer and I was bored as hell.
Yeah.
It's a fucking video game show, not to disparage such a thing, in a post Last of Us world.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we are also in a post Halo TV show world.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an exclusive coming straight to Peacock.
Mm-hmm.
I do not have a lot of high hopes for this title.
Oh, yeah. Let's go back to video games. Lizfania is an isometric action indie game. It was a very fascinating little title. I would suggest actually checking out the trailer for it. It was fun.
Okay.
Immortals of Avum. It looked like a single-player Destiny game with magic.
Yeah, yeah. We talked earlier about a first-person game with magic. That one is more like you imbue your revolver with fire magic. This game was a first-person shooter. It looked like a double-A Doom Eternal almost. Yeah. But you hold out your hand and fucking magic comes out. And you change like the spells you're casting. It looked very fun. I'm always down for a first-person shooter that's trying to remix the mechanics to make the gameplay more interesting. That's what Doom Eternal did. I mean, they give you a shotgun with a grappling hook on it. You're going to go to town. I just finished playing Bolt Gun. They give you a sword that you can charge at people with and kill them with a chainsaw sword. I'm down. So, yeah. I mean, we'll see. I'll play pretty much any first-person shooter because they're not that long and they're usually pretty fun.
All right, we're almost done here. Two more things. First up, very briefly, Fortnite, but Transformers.
Yeah, they put Transformers into Fortnite. They have put literally everything into Fortnite. Lady Gaga has been in Fortnite. Mm-hmm. Ariana Grande has been in Fortnite. Daft Punk has been in Fortnite.
I was told today by somebody who actively plays the game that they have a lore reason why this shit happens.
Oh, sure. I'm sure they do. I don't personally care. Like it is more of a platform than a game at this point.
It is absolutely.
But I love a lot of the things they're doing because they do give their players between the ages of like 9 and 15 for the most part development tools, like a simplified version of the Unreal Engine 5 development tools that they can just make shit with. And like it's WADs and Doom 1 all over again. Like give the community the ability to be creative and you will find yourself with a whole bunch of people who want to make video games for a living. And I think that's a good thing. Just pay them.
Yep. Just pay them. Okay. The grand finale. There's only one game they could have ended it with, and it wasn't Bloodborne, by the way, y'all.
It wasn't Bloodborne because we don't have any confirmation that's even being made. Stop asking for it. It'll show up when it shows up.
Right. The grand finale to Summer Game Fest was Final Fantasy VII Reunion.
Rebirth.
The second game that is not a DLC.
Right, yeah.
In the Final Fantasy VII thing.
We knew when Final Fantasy VII, the first one, Final Fantasy VII Remake came out, that it was a part one. We knew that. It wasn't going to cover the entire game of Final Fantasy VII. And in fact, once you played it, you realized they were altering the story in not significant ways, but enough that, like, this is not the same story.
Right.
Like, we're going to hit all the same beats, but something else is happening.
Yep.
And what we got this time was like, hey, we're back. And this is way big. And instead of remake, this is rebirth. This is, I have a feeling, when the creator of Kingdom Hearts, who we gave Final Fantasy VII to, is going off the fucking rails.
Nomura, the man, the myth, the man behind a million belts.
He is going off the rails, and I feel like he's gonna do some fuckery with the FF7 formula. And I'm here for it.
He got his start on FF7.
Yeah.
He was a nobody back then. So yeah, he can do whatever the fuck he wants. He took Final Fantasy 14 and made a playable game.
Yeah, which is like, Jesus.
Like, him and Yoshi P got together and like, hey, how do we fix the thing?
Yeah, and since we're right about to get FF16 like here pretty soon, excited for more Final Fantasy, which I believe said was coming out early next year.
Yeah, early next year. We didn't get a definitive date on that one, but it was at least saying like, hey, it's done. We're just like cleaning it up.
I'll have enough time to finish 16.
All right, final thoughts, feelings, concerns, comments about what we saw at Summer Game Fest. Do you like what you saw?
Well, honestly, I'm just really disappointed we didn't get a Bloodborne 2 announcement.
Well, everybody on the internet is, apparently. No,
that's absolute satire. Like, just everyone shut up.
And the entire Mass Effect and Dragon Age crowd is very upset as well.
Oh, sure, yeah. No, look, E3 was canceled only a couple of months ago. And then Jeff Keighley put out a big thing saying, if you already had something for E3 and you were ready and you want to keep working on it because you wanted to show people, hit me up. DM me.
Yep.
Dive into my DMs on Twitter. We will talk. I'll see about getting you a trailer.
Yep.
We got everything that people sent him. There's no way he made the show shorter to cut people out. It was 2 fucking hours. So we got everything from everyone who wanted to show us a trailer. So shut up about what wasn't there. It wasn't ready for you.
Yep.
My thoughts on the actual thing was fucking awesome. You know what? In a world where that we live now, where you don't want to have, companies don't want to like show off their game by like taking their Finland studio and like grabbing 100 PCs and setting them up somewhere in fucking California. Yeah. So a bunch of sweaty nerds can wait 4 hours in line to gunk up their equipment with their nerd sweat and play a game. And then be like, yeah, it looks good. Like this is so much fucking work. What we got today was, hey, do you want to show off something in the summer right before the absolute, like, absence of games releasing for the next 3 months?
Yeah.
Get in here. And they did. And it was great. And I loved it. And I think this is what E3 should be. And the reason I think that is because we still got a Devolver show.
We did.
They didn't be like, oh, we don't have to do this anymore and pretend we're part of E3. They were like, no, we like doing this. And we're still going to do it. Yep. And it was great. The Devolver show was great. You should go watch it this year.
Yep. And as for me, I love video games. I like watching video game trailers. I like being marketed to. It was fun. I had a good time. I like feeling like a kid again, and that's what these presentations do. They make me feel like a kid again.
I love video games. They're better than real life. Boom diada, boom diada, boom.
And I mean, that was kind of my opinion about it. Now, for the rest of the sessions that are coming up over the weekend, it will be very dependent on what is being shown.
Yeah.
If there's a lot of really good stuff that gets shown over the next few days, we might do another mini episode on Thursday. If not, then we'll have a Patreon episode. We'll just kind of have to feel it out and see how it goes.
Yeah.
So far, Summer Game Fest, absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I have a feeling you will hear at some point James talk about whatever the hell Final Fantasy Persona 5 Tactics is.
Yep. I'm going to be excited about talking about that.
Yep.
That's going to be my whole ass life when that comes out. I will exist to nobody because Persona made a new game.
A tactics game. Like yep. 100 hours.
That's two of my shits in one. It's two. It's I love it already. All right. Until next time, for Hector, this is James.
And for James, this is Hector.
Everyone, good night.
And good game.